Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking, delivering expert support and tailored solutions to help your business grow with confidence, clarity, and resilience.
I'm chatting with Darlene Menzi, CEO at FinFind. FinFind's SA MSME Access to Finance Report, this for 2025. It's in partnership with African Bank. Darlene, before we dig into some of the details, I think a lot of the listeners are saying, yeah, SME, we know that. MSME, what's the extra M for?
Yeah, so basically the Department of Small Business Development in their new gazetted policy has decided to align with the IFC and others, MSME, micro, small and medium enterprises. So in fact, the acronym before SMME was small, micro, medium, so it didn't really make sense. So it's an alignment of the market from a size upwards, micro, small, medium enterprises.
I concurred. It always confused my brain beforehand, and I thought maybe it was just me. What the report? I mean, there's a lot of information in this report. A lot of it makes me sort of take a deep breath as I'm reading it. But the key thing is that you make the point, formal micro businesses, it's sort of 86.5% of the MSMEs applying for funding, and they really are the people and the businesses making the jobs hugely important. But funding is hard, and maybe hard is almost polite. Funding is incredibly hard for these businesses.
Absolutely. I mean, these businesses are turning over less than $1 million a year, employing between 2 and 5 staff. They employ 80% actually of the whole MSME sector. But the difficulty is that the National Credit Act sees them as consumers, because the Act says that a consumer or a juristic entity, a business that turns over less than $1 million, will be treated as a consumer. So they find themselves in this kind of conundrum where they can't apply personally in their own capacity because the bank wants to see their income, and most business owners don't get a regular monthly salary. And they also struggle from a business point of view. So that is really, we want to fix the country, we want more jobs, we've got to fund businesses that turn over less than R1 million that are formally registered, and find solutions.
And many of these, they're small, they're 2 to 5 employees, that would include the owner in the example. But these are also the companies that can quite easily suddenly become 5, 10, 15 employees, and that's what this country needs, it's what the businesses need. We need employment, and this is where it's going to happen.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the sample set, many of those businesses are less than 5 years old, which means they're post-COVID. So, you know, as I was saying in the launch, you know, if you get a baby or a toddler, you don't say, look, fend for yourself and we'll wait till you're big enough to be an adult. Ultimately, business funding is the last, you know, it really is a lifeline for the sort of champion segment of the market. So between the public and private sector, policy has to drive some change, and then the traditional ways that banks have been looking at this market, and even the DFIs, has to change so that we can get money to them, help them to grow. You know, whether it's startup funding, cash flow assistance, working capital, equipment finance, whatever it is that they need, the data is saying that there's a lot of money in the country, but it's not pointing at where, you know, the supply and demand gap is actually not a lack of capital, it's that it's targeted at the wrong market.
Is the bank's lack of appetite here, is it risk, and perhaps incorrectly risk assessment? Is it for them, it's just, you know, it's so much easier to sit down with a multi-billion company, do one deal, and essentially get the same sort of loan size that you would from multi-small businesses?
Well, absolutely. I mean, small loans at volume, you know, there's a cost factor there. Mm-hmm. And so that's why, you know, fintech and systems that can actually make that, take a lot of the capital out of that, for each deal. But also the problem on the other hand is that there's no reporting of lending to SMEs at MSMEs at a granular level. And so what happens is there's no transparency shone on banks to say, well, you said you loaned out 100 million. Was that to 2 businesses for 50 million?
Yeah.
Or was that to 100 businesses? So one of the, you know, the calls to the report for change is that the Reserve Bank will change some of this, the banking submissions, where, you know, like every other OECD country, we see at a granular level, who are these businesses that you loan money to, who applied, who was rejected, why they were rejected, what are the interest rates. And it's not only the banks, the DFIs as well.
Yep.
And then, of course, you've got the fintechs coming into the market. So there are solutions, but, yeah, it's a difficult scenario at the moment.
And what is one of them? It's sort of almost just maybe a more simple one, but maybe this is just the naivety of myself. A change in the credit scoring models. These are these businesses that you mentioned earlier, the revenue is not often steady. They are very, very small, and perhaps the traditional credit scoring just isn't suffice.
nail on the head there. I mean, the traditional scoring models are looking at bigger size businesses. You think of a smaller business that's maybe got three staff members and the rigor in terms of supporting documentation that have to go with that application. Part of the report shows that there's over 30 documents sometimes that are requested, for instance, for a term loan.
Yeah.
Now, the reality is that you'd almost have to employ another person to get that over the line. So, the global trends are showing that alternative data, really making sure that policy and gets behind open finance, where if you've got a digital footprint, you own that data, you are the data subject. If you give permission, the data holder should be making that information available so that we can build alternative credit scores. And it'll completely revolutionize. It'll kind of be night and day stuff, where now, instead of big forms, et cetera, we can take your bank statements, a few other digital footprints, do a bit of categorization, build a backward-looking income statement, forward-looking cash flow, and then make some determinations around that for lending. And then if the government comes in with a good credit guarantee scheme to take off a piece of that risk, well, then it changes the whole game. So alternative credit scoring, open finance, and some good credit guarantees could really make sure that this missing middle, as it is, but for us, it's actually sitting at the base of the pyramid, could really be changed, and we could see us reach some of those numbers we're going for by 2030.
And you make a great point there. I mean, some sort of lend of last resort, in a sense, or securitization from the state is a better phraseology there. And really, a lot of folks will say, oh, it's going to cost the state money. It's probably not. I mean, these are not businesses that suddenly disappear. These are businesses that are desperate to go from a 1 million turnover to a 2, a 5, a 10. There will be some defaults. That's the part of loans, but probably a lot less than the average person thinks there would be.
Well, absolutely. I mean, if you have a look at the stats, you'll see that many of this segment are black-owned businesses. A lot of them, when you have a look from a collateral point of view, very little collateral. And the collateral that is there is more in movable assets than bonded properties or unbonded properties. And so, you know, when banks and other lenders are looking for collateral, they just don't have it. So, you know, that's one part of the market that if we could fix, we could really get it moving quickly.
You mentioned earlier also in fintech. I mean, I chat from time to time people in the fintech space. This must be very ripe for disruption for some clever fintech to come in.
Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of fintech lending going on at the moment. Mm-hmm. There's a big issue around regulation there and who that information is being reported to, although some of them are actually getting together to pass good and bad data between each other so that they can, you know, make sure that they're not getting a few culprits who are coming to get involved there. But the difficulty is that they have to price for risk. Because mm-hmm. the big issue is there's no business credit data in the country. So consumer credit data is well managed by the NCR, but there's no business credit data. So if you want to see how a business has managed previous credit, there's no way to get that information. So therefore, those fintechs are pricing for risk. So some of that money is quite expensive. So we need to find how do we harness the fintech, but use other opportunities to lower the risk for them so that they can price better.
Yeah, and to find that business credit data. I wasn't aware that was available. That would be hugely important, much as I have a credit data when I go and apply for a loan. We'll leave it there. Darlene Menzies, CEO, FinFind. Appreciate the time.
Hot Business is powered by Standard Bank Business and Commercial Banking.